So Emmanuel Ocho from FS1 was talking about Kyle Shanahan. He said it's the most disappointing season in the Kyle Shanahan era. Kyle Shanahan looks like he's mismanaged the staff, he's mismanaged the roster, and he's mismanaged the offense. I'll first start with the staff. You fired Steve Wilks because there was a lack of personality and personnel fit. Okay, you fired Steve Wilks, but he had the number three defense in football. Now Nick Sorensen has like the 25th best defense in football. I think it's 16th as of right now, but his point is that it's not as good.
Sure.
Yesterday, the Niners allowed 38 points in a regular season game for the first time in 37 games since the Chiefs did so on October of 2022. So you mismanaged the staff. Now let's talk about the players, Ocho went on to say. You and Brandon Ayuk have this tension, so much so that we see him taking off his shorts at practice because he's wearing different colored shorts. He wants to get paid. He doesn't get paid. Deebo Samuel, he's choking the snappers during the game, and nothing is spoken of it. So you mismanage the staff, you mismanage the roster, and you mismanage, lastly, the offense. This offense, this prolific offense, in a world where the Detroit Lions are running up scores, running a ton of trick plays, in a world where offenses are changing protections, in a world where quarterbacks are being protected, this offense looks stagnant.
Yeah.
So that was pretty, I think it's pretty accurate.
Ocho's been a big cheerleader of the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. It's not like he's been a consistent hater. He has been a cheerleader and defender of this team for a long time now. He loves to talk about the 49ers,
but you got to call it like it is.
Right. No, 100%. 100%.
Kyle's had a bad season in a lot of ways.
And, you know, I just watched that game and I watched the Green Bay offense and I go, it's evident the type of creativity and the type of explosion that they're getting in that offense. And then the 49ers offense trots out there and it looks like a JV team versus a varsity team. And the Green Bay defense is fine. It's not amazing. And to muster 10 points when you still have Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings and Jordan Mason, right? Like you still have all of your skill players and there was zero creativity. The one creative play was an explosive play, and that was that double flea flicker. And I was like, hey, awesome. Like, that's cool. That's creative. Like, where is that? Where are the screens to Deebo? It's obvious that Deebo can't run routes. Where are the screens and the drags and slants? Like,
I was watching him a lot in the game because let's get to Deebo. It's really interesting you brought that up because I was going to say something about that too. Debo's got 5 catches for 22 yards in his last two in the last two games. And Deebo is that kind of on the every other year plan anyway, where his rookie season, 57 catches, 802 yards. He had 961 total scrimmage yards and 6 touchdowns. Excellent rookie season. Next season, he's banged up, 417 yards, 1 touchdown. 2021 was really his only prolific season. 770 total yards, 14 total touchdowns. Then the next season, his contract, when he came in out of shape, 864 total yards and 5 touchdowns. Last year was a bit of a bounce back, 1,100 total yards and 12 total touchdowns. Good season. And this year, he's been bad, 590 yards and two total touchdowns. So he's kind of on the every other year thing. And you mentioned the screens. I was watching him. There were numerous times where Deebo kind of trotted out through the screen and the defense just goes right there. They just run right out and cover him because they've seen it a million times. Yeah. They know it's coming, you know? Same thing with the sweep when he gets it. All right, it isn't working anymore. And in my issue with Deebo, you know, again, you have your contract thing. You come in out of shape. You played that whole game. And I stuck up for him with the incident with Tabor Pepper and Jake Moody. Sure. He said, this stuff happens on the sideline all the time. We don't always see it. Not the end of the world. But he is a captain. And if you lose your temper, how do you respond from that? You got to make it right. He goes into this game and he doesn't want to talk to the media. After 3 of your top players were out in this game, you just got embarrassed. You did nothing. You dropped 2 balls, one of which really changed the momentum in the game when it bounced off your hands for an interception when it was 17-7 and you guys may have been able to start making a game out of it. And you decided not to talk to the media. That's fucking Bush League, dude.
Yeah.
That is absolute Bush League. He has to come out and he's got to stand at his locker and he's got to be a captain and he's got to answer the question.
Gotta wear it. That's the C on your chest.
Just to be like, nah, I'm not going to talk to the media. Give me a break. He, whether he's going to be on this team or not next season, he has a lot to show in the next, 5 games, 6 games, whatever it is, about why he's a captain and how he can lead the team. Because right now, again, a lot of fans and a lot of people are like, all right, man, this is bullshit, dude. you know what I mean? Like, come up and be a leader. Like, you have to be there for your teammates, and to not talk to the media yesterday, I thought was trash.
Let me ask you this question. If the 49ers put Deebo Samuel on the trading block this offseason, what do you think is the best return that they could hope for?
I mean, your mid-round pick, maybe.
Mid-round being what? What do you think the highest pick they could get?
Fourth.
I agree. I think fourth round would be like top best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like a fifth rounder.
Yeah,
with the contract and the way he has played this season. So then I look at it and go, well, they restructured him, right? Which means that the out that they had after this season is essentially gone, unless you cut him as a post June 1st cap casualty, like they did with Arik Armstead this mm-hmm. past season. If they do that, then they get $10 million. But the problem is you don't get that $10 million till after June 1st. So it doesn't help them in the most important part of the offseason, which is the beginning of free agency. But here's the other situation that they find themselves in is, can you, we don't think that Deebo Samuel is a good wide receiver anymore. I feel like that's a fair statement just based on his play this season. But you're going to be without Brandon Ayuk until at least midseason, if not more. I was talking to my buddy. He's a chiropractor. And I went in to get an adjustment today, and I didn't realize this, but the type of knee injury that Brandon Ayuk suffered was called the terrible triad. And it's typically seen more in soccer than any other sport because of slide tackles. But it's when your knee gets hit and moved inside, and it tears the ACL, the MCL, and the meniscus. And that's the three. That's what happened to Brandon Ayuk. They didn't realize the meniscus tear until they went in to repair it, and that's where they mm-hmm. saw it. So they had to repair that as well. That is a very, very difficult injury to come back from, and you have no idea what that player is going to look like once recovered. So do you go into next season, you cut Deebo Samuel post June 1, and you've got Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and who else? No, Jacob Cowing. Can't see the field for whatever reason. Chris Conley, like maybe you draft another wide receiver, but you know, Kyle Shanahan doesn't typically like to play rookie wide receivers. So then you got to go find somebody, right? But I don't know that Deebo Samuel helps this team anymore. Like, what is his role? What does he do? What does he do to help this team win? What does he do to help the offense? I don't feel like he does very much anymore. He is not a productive player. So do you just bite the bullet and cut him, or do you put him on the trade block and hope for a fourth or fifth rounder? I don't know what the answer is, but I'm kind of done seeing Deebo Samuel on the 49ers.
He's not worth the money anymore. I mean, if it's a situation where like he was a free agent and he's going to come back on a short-term deal for less money, you say, oh, all right, you know, let's see if we can catch lightning in a bottle with him or something. But to pay him what you're going to pay him for the production you're getting doesn't make any sense. And the production they've got, and again, injuries play a role, but they've played Deebo, Ayuk, and McCaffrey have played 20 games this season total. They have two touchdowns between the three of them in 20 combined games. If I told you that before the season, you'd say, well, wait, hold on. We're 11 games in. They've only played 20 games combined. That's a problem. And they only have two touchdowns. We're not very good. It'd be a miracle if we're 5-6 with that. You know, people wouldn't have seen Jennings coming on the way that he has, but it's crazy how little production they've had. And McCaffrey, we're all hoping that he's just working his way back, knowing in the back of our minds that running backs, it can go away quickly. But since he's been back, Brian, he's 149 yards on 43 carries. It's 3.46 yards per carry. He's been held to 39 yards or less in two of the three games. And like I said, he hasn't scored a TD, and he scored a TD in 13 of 16 games last season. So the one game that he did have decent numbers, we had 79 yards. If you take away one of the runs he had at the end of the half where he gained 13 yards, his numbers look even worse. And I believe he's only had two rushes over 10 yards out of those 43 attempts. In Jordan Mason, if you take out the two garbage time attempts yesterday, he had his only run was for 16 yards. And again, he looks shot out of a cannon. And I'm not saying take McCaffrey, play Mason over McCaffrey. Right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is find a way to use them both. There's no reason you can't use them both. And in a game like yesterday, when it is 17-7 or it's close, any close game that you're in, just pound Mason. Pound right. him, pound Mason where he can wear the defense down a little bit. And then maybe McCaffrey can hit one.
Yeah.
When he comes in. So it doesn't make any sense to me that Kyle is just, again, it just looks like he's banging his head against the wall. Just trying to say like, trying to do the same thing over and over again, that isn't working. I don't understand it. So it's been really, really frustrating. We said Larry Kruger said he could see Shanahan stepping down because he's so burnt out. I'm burnt out. We're burnt out. The fan base is burnt out, but Kyle does look burnt out, and Kyle has not been himself this year. I don't know that he's going to step down, but he needs a vacation or something's got to happen. But this is just this whole season, this whole team, not the whole team, but a lot of them look disinterested, look tired, look old, look beaten up, look defeated. They're blowing games. They haven't beat anybody good.
Winning record.
They've gotten like Minnesota is a good team. They beat them pretty soundly. The Chiefs are a good team. They destroyed them. And the Packers are a good team. They destroyed them. So what, you beat a Bucs team that was decimated that you would probably lose to if they had Mike Evans.
Yeah.
If they had their corners in that game. So it's tough to make anything out of this team. They just look old and slow and disinterested and very mid. And moving forward, I don't know that there are answers. I don't know what the answers are moving forward. Because if you have to stick with a lot of the same guys, again, we love the draft class, but how many guys out of this draft class, ask yourself this question. We like the draft class as part of a team and can you have some starters and things like that. But how many of those guys in that draft class do you think can step in next year and help carry the team the way a Fred Warner does or George Kittle does or Ayuk did when he was healthy or McCaffrey was healthy, whoever. I don't know if any of them can. They can be contributors, but to carry the team, and the Niners are built on 8 or 9 dudes who could carry the team. Oh, they're losing those guys.
Jeff said the 49ers look like Mike Tyson against Jake Paul.
Mike Tyson was pulling his punches at least. At least he could have. Yeah. He probably could have won that if he wanted to. It's super frustrating. And Kyle, again, it's like you're seeing that this is not the person we know. This is not the coach that we know. The 49ers are generally a well-coached team. This is a bad, poorly coached team. And yeah, he doesn't have his fastball this year. He just doesn't. So hope it's a bad year, but there's a lot going on here, man. There has to be more than meets the eye, I feel like, because this team just looks disheveled and done.
Well, and like I said, you have to wonder if for Kyle Shanahan, we're finally the attrition of the coaching staff being poached by other teams is finally like rearing its head with Kyle, because, you know, you look at that and go and think about, like, you know, you've got three guys right now that are running offenses in the NFL that were part of that offensive scheming and game planning, you know, triad there, right? With Mike McDaniel, Bobby Slowick, and I don't know if it's Clint or Clay that's in New Orleans. I'm not positive. But, you know, say what you want, but everywhere that Kyle has been, he's been surrounded by the majority of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike LaFleur was another one, right? He lost his job, but he's now the offensive coordinator, technically, in LA with the Rams. But he was surrounded by all those guys. Right. And, you know, it was kind of a, you know, Shanahan was the head. Right. But they were in those meetings. And like you look at some of these offenses and you go, there's the creativity that we used to see right out of San Francisco and out of Kyle Shanahan. So I think that's a valid concern about the coaching staff being just depleted and not restocked with promising coaches. You know, one of the things that we talked about when it came to like what are the things that Kyle Shanahan is good at is, you know, we said finding coaching talent, and he may have hit a wall there in terms of this coaching staff that he put together. But I don't know. But here's the thing, There's so much talent on this team. Even with the injuries, right? Bosa will be back more than likely, right? Brock Purdy's probably going to be back this week. But honestly, like, there's enough talent on this team that they could shock the world next week and beat Buffalo and then just go on a run. Like, that is still a possibility. I don't believe that it will happen, but that is definitely one of the possibilities. You know, I was listening to the Ringer NFL show, their Sunday night recap. And one of the segments they did was cooked contender or playoff pretender. And it was, is this team cooked? Like, they're just done for the season. Mm-hmm. Are they an actual contender? Like, they could be in championship weekend. And then are they a playoff pretender? And one of the teams that they played that game with was the 49ers. And both Steven Ruiz and Shio Kapadia and even Deontay Lee all basically said, like, they're not cooked yet because of the amount of talent on that team